Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
Federal charges. CBS's Jennifer Mayerly says more details are emerging about Vance Belter.
Prosecutors say Belter went to the homes of two more lawmakers on the night of the shootings. One was away on vacation, and the suspect left the other house after police approached him.
Former President Joe Biden spoke to Minnesota Governor Tim Walz on Saturday about the shootings. President Trump is in Canada to participate in the G7 summit. He says the U.S. signed a trade agreement with the U.K.
It's a fair deal for both. Going to produce a lot of jobs, a lot of income, and we have other many, many other ones coming.
A big day in college baseball.
The 1-2. Yeah. Swing and a miss! Greatness from Gage!
Arkansas's Gage Wood pitched the third no-hitter in College World Series history, as heard on ESPN. CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. Attorneys for Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan say there are five specific actions she took, they argue, that are protected by judicial immunity. JS Online reports a new filing says those actions cannot be used as the basis for federal criminal charges, and they're still calling for the charges to be thrown out. Dugan's lawyers maintain that directing people to the chief judge, handling cases off the record, and making legal errors are all official judicial acts, not crimes. Prosecutors are arguing that granting such immunity would put judges, quote, above the law. It was a forward-looking convention. Lisa Hale has more about the Democrats gathering in the Dells over the weekend.
Wisconsin Democrats are looking ahead to 2026 with big ambitions, full control of both the legislature and the governor's office. That trifecta was the central message this weekend at the party's annual convention. Delegates elected a new party chair, Devin Remiker, who says Democrats need to rally around a strong economic message.
We need to be very clear and consistent in our messaging. You'll probably hear me say a lot that we are the party that fights for the working class, defends our rights and freedoms, and protects our very democracy.
Remiker, former executive director of the state Dems, beat out William Garcia, chair of the La Crosse County Democratic Party, and longtime Democratic strategist Joe Sopecki. Remiker replaces outgoing chair Ben Wickler, who has far outpaced Republicans in fundraising in the last 6 years. Remiker begins his two-year term July 1st. Also at the convention, delegates passed several resolutions, including one calling for the impeachment of President Donald Trump. Democrats added extra security at the convention following recent attacks on Minnesota lawmakers, the killing of former House Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband, and the shooting of State Senator John Hoffman and his wife.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Wattles.
The Brewers conquer the Cards.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Brewers have today off after beating the Cardinals 3-2 before a Father's Day crowd of over 40,000 fans. Top of the ninth, Nolan Arenado representing the tying run after getting on base following a dramatic 12-pitch at-bat against the Brewers closer, Trevor Megill. Pat Murphy's reaction after the game, a sigh of relief.
Whew. I guess if anyone's considering whether or not Arenado's a Hall of Famer, that at-bat in the ninth, I mean, that's special. That was a tremendous at-bat. But then for Megill and Contreras to weave through that thing like they did, that's super special.
So the Brewers winning 3 out of 4 against St. Louis. They'll face the Cubs in Chicago tomorrow night. Boys High School lacrosse. The Wanakee Warriors held on to win 9-8 over Wales Kettle Moraine to win their first ever WIAA state championship. That match held over the weekend at Bank of Sun Prairie Stadium. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some could be strong, a low in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, a slight storm chance, a high in the low 70s. More storms likely on Wednesday. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin,
chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always reads between the lines until he sees a car coming, Pete Schwabba.
I forgot about that one. Hey, welcome to Nightlight, everybody. All these bumpers are true, folks. That is me in a nutshell. I wear my heart on my sleeve. If I'm joking about something, it's usually true. I have read many books on the highway. Great to have you here. It is finally Monday, ladies and gentlemen. We are back at it, and it is great to be back in the air talking about the things we love in life, like movies and TV and comedy and theater and all kinds of fun stuff, some sports. We've got a big rivalry happening this week, Conrad. I thought I would get your thoughts on that. We've got some Cubs-Brewers happening.
Yeah. I'm excited to see if the Brewers can pull it off.
Think they can?
Yeah. I think we're only about like four games back now, so maybe even less. But
here's what I'm a Cub fan, but I'm trying to be unbiased here. And usually when I'm like that, I'm coming down against my team because that's usually the way it goes. But the Brewers were red hot lately, and the Cubs withstood it and kept the lead. Like, they're playing great baseball. The Cubs are for real, and I feel like the Brewers are for real, and I feel like it's going to come down to those two teams.
Yeah, it's looking like it. You know, the Cubs, I didn't expect them to be this hot this year, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
It surprised me.
It surprised me, too, but it's great when there's a good rivalry between the Bears and the Packers. Cubs and the Brewers, to a lesser degree, the Bucks and the Bulls. I don't think people are quite as passionate about that rivalry.
Well, the Bulls, you know, they need some.
Oh, God, I hope the Cubs wipe the field with your Brewers this week if you're going to talk like that, young buck. The Bulls have been pretty bad. But even when they were, that's not the same as, I don't think, as the Bears and the Packers.
Oh, no.
Or the Cubs and the Brewers. But that's not to say it couldn't be. But we'll see what happens. Some fun stuff going on this week. We've got a great show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Sherry Stoka is here. She is a nutritionist and dietitian from Wellness MD. That is just outside of the Milwaukee area. Sherry's been on the show before, and I love picking her brain about all things health and nutrition and all that kind of stuff. So I think last time we got a couple texts for Sherry. So if you have nutritious questions or dietary questions, I think she had a lot of fun answering those last time. So share those with us, if you would, at 6:35. Conrad, you got any questions for Sherry? Anything on your mind?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that. That's at 6:35. We're going to talk a little bit about Ozempic, which she called it by the clinical name of GLP-1. I had never heard that. So, and then we'll talk about a lot of other stuff. Sherry's a great guest coming up in about a half an hour. And then a new guest. I'm always excited when we have new people on the show. Phil Krause will be here. Phil owns the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh. And we talked, I think it was Friday, we gave a shout out to Phil. He was showing The Magnificent Seven last night on Father's Day, the 2016 version. And they do some really cool stuff at the Time Community Theater. We'll talk to Phil about that. I think independent movie theaters are a treasure. especially when they do other things like not just host movies, but host different events too. And we need to do whatever we can, folks, to help these independent movie theaters, because I think the people that own them, it's a kind of a passionate thing, and they're very into what they do, but they need the help. And I think the support of the community, I know nothing, you know, Time Theater, he could be pulling in $10 million a year. I have no idea. I'm just saying in general, I would love it if we could all come together and support independent movie theaters. So that's our show for tonight regarding guests. We've got a great question. We're going to talk a little bit about, feel free to share your Father's Day events with us if you had a good day. The phone lines are open. The text line is open, 855-752-4842. Man, I don't know where do we even start, Conrad. We got a lot to get to tonight, don't we?
Well, why don't we start with the question of the night?
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Who is the best on-screen couple? Movies or TV, folks? Who do you like? I was kind of thinking about this earlier. I'm kind of like, I don't dislike rom-coms, but I don't really, I don't seek them out. But I will say there was a very rom-commy element to the show 1923, and I loved the relationship between Brandon Sklenar's character, who was a Dutton. And I said this before on the show, Yellowstone, I got really bored with really quick, maybe sometime in season two. But I did like both prequels. I liked 1883 with Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, and then I like the 1923, two seasons of that with Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren, and this Brandon Sklenar, who played a Dutton nephew. And he gets married in season two. And I've never like really liked watching romances develop on screen. There are some good ones. Maybe you think Titanic with Leo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, or Grease with Danny Zuko and Olivia Newton-John. Speaking of Olivia Newton-John, Paul Blart and his fellow mall employee. You got Ross and Rachel, Sam and Diane. There's all kinds of couples that have graced the big and little screen. So who is your favorite? I'm going to say 1923. I really liked that storyline. It was fun to kind of watch this couple fall in love. And I don't say that very often. So I really enjoy that. I thought they were, Brandon Sklenar's character was kind of this strong, silent type. He's sort of the hero. And then the woman he ended up marrying, whose fate did not turn out very well. I think her name was Julia Schlepfer. I don't know if I'm saying her last name right, but they were fun. They were a fun couple to watch. So let us know who your favorite on-screen couple is. Big or little screen, TV or film, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC, baby. You can text us on the app as well, or on the, if you're watching the radio on the stream, that's fine too, at YouTube, Facebook, or X, Twix, X Twitter, whatever you want to call it. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and we will read your text on the radio. Con, you got someone?
Yeah. I'm thinking Jamie Lannister and Cersei Lannister.
The Lannisters. Oh, they're a functional couple.
I'm just kidding. That's probably Thrones, the right? Worst one.
Wait, which one? Jamie Lannister was...
their brother and sister.
I thought, oh, so she took his name or what? I didn't know what, okay.
Yeah, that was a bad one from Game of Thrones.
Look, they're very compatible. Don't judge. You know what? This is the 19...
I will say, you probably know where I'm going to go with this.
Lay it on me.
How I Met Your Mother.
I knew you were going to say that.
Lily Pad and Marshmallow.
I don't even know their nicknames. I really don't know that show. I got to check it out.
It's Lillian Marshall, yeah.
That's what they see, the marshmallow thing. That's kind of stomach turning.
Lily Pad? You like that
Lily
one?
Lily Pad Marshmallow? I like Lily Pad better than Marshmallow. God, if I was like a dude and somebody started calling me Marshmallow, I don't think I'd like that very much.
Well, he's kind of a big kind of.
Is that Jason Segel's character?
Yeah.
Okay.
Husky guy?
Yeah. He could probably pull it off.
But he's like 7 foot.
He's just a big teddy bear, though, apparently.
Yeah.
A little soft on the inside.
I really like their development with their... Because the first episode, it's Jason Segel's character proposing.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
And you know, they just go through a lot of adversity through the whole show. It's all nine seasons.
It's funny because I love Cheers. I'm kind of in, that's, Cheers is like my go-to show when I'm laying in bed at night and I want to laugh before I go to sleep. And Sam and Diane are so volatile and contentious. That's typically the kind of couple I like to watch. I don't know what that says about me. You know, my wife and I are pretty emotional people. We have our arguments, but we had an argue jar at one point. Throw a dollar into a jar when you argue.
Okay.
By the end of the year, had enough to vacation in Hawaii for 3 weeks. No, but I don't mind that. I think watching people arguing is funny. And George Costanza and anybody he dated loved all that stuff with all his neuroses. But I would say 1923, Brandon and Alexandra, the Dutton, and what was her name on the show? I got to find this out now. She was just Alexandra and he was Spencer Dutton. Right. Okay. Conrad says, How I Met Your Mother. No surprise there. What do you say? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Man, I'm getting more and more distracted by people that walk by the window here.
Gelato?
And I want to wave. I don't know if it's gelato or if it's just downtown Green Bay in the summertime, but it's sort of like, it's kind of hopping. It's better than in the winter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, not a lot of people want to go for a walk in the winter.
Certainly not down here. So how was your, all right, I have to ask you, because you did you went to a comedy show.
I did, yeah.
A very filthy comedian.
Yes. I can't repeat anything he said.
It would just be bleeps.
Yep.
Wow, that's kind of impressive.
You know, you never know what he was going to, because I've went to his shows before, and every time I'm like, I wonder if he's going to reuse something.
Yeah.
He didn't reuse one thing.
That's pretty impressive.
From his last show. And the last show I saw him was like 2 years ago now. He also put out two specials on YouTube between that time, and he didn't use any of those jokes he used in that special either.
And I'd say let's play a clip, but it doesn't sound like we could even pull it off here on
live I would radio. Have to do a lot of bleeping.
Just play a bleep and we'll get an idea of,
yes,
of his potty mouth. How long did he do? How long was he on stage?
So it was about 50 minutes, I think.
50?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was opening act?
There was a like a 15-minute opener. He was pretty funny. He's pretty good.
Those are the sweet spots, man. I used to love opening because, like, when you open at a theater, like I opened for Huey Lewis in the News in Myrtle Beach, and it's just such a sweet gig. It's like good money, and you know, you don't have to do that long either. And the crowd is there, like they paid big money to be there. They're ready to laugh. You get no jackasses or no hecklers. Typically, I mean, unless you really suck, you probably would get that. But
this one says that we don't do any heckling at all, or you'll be thrown out.
Where was it?
It was the Improv in Brookfield.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And the big thing that they made a joke about it was that it's in a strip mall. And they kept talking about that it's in a strip mall in Brookfield.
Okay.
And I'm surprised anyone showed up.
Well, that sounds like fun. I had a good Father's Day. Did you talk to your dad yesterday?
Well, my dad was back in town. Yeah.
He's in Wisconsin. That's right.
Well, he's I believe he's on a flight right now.
Back to Flo? Back to Fla?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we went out to dinner.
It's nice that he came to you on Father's Day.
Actually, I went to Appleton, and then because he was staying at my brother's house.
Okay. Just your dad or your mom, too?
Just my dad. Nice. My dad came back to check up on grandma. So.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good day. I like to do nothing on those days. I don't like to make decisions. I don't like to really be talked too much. Like to play video poker, maybe watch a movie, take a walk, play some soccer, golf. But we did go to my folks for dinner, and I was glad the Cubs won yesterday, so my dad was happy because he gets really. This is what my dad did, and he's done this a couple times more recently. He's like, Pete, because I watched the last three innings of the Cub game with him, and it ended in a tie. So I'm like, well, I gotta go, you know. So I go back later, and he says, oh, the Cubs pulled it out in the 10th. Pull up the highlights. So as I pull up the highlights on my phone to put it to their TV, he tells me play by play what happened. I'm like, Dad, I got the highlights right here.
I want to watch it.
I wanted to watch it, but he was excited. So it was a good Father's Day all around. Spent some time with my daughter. She got me some nice gifts. Lots of fun. So I hope all the dads out there had a great day. We are doing it Monday style here at Nightlight, folks. We are broadcasting live from downtown Green Bay all over the beautiful state of Wisconsin on what is finally a warm day here. Hope you're having a great day. And we are coming back with maybe some Bill Burr. What else did I say we might play?
Well, whose birthday is it? Laurie Metcalf.
Oh, we got a funny clip from her. And we'll read your text. That's all coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Summerfest brings the biggest names in live music to Milwaukee's lakefront across three unforgettable weekends, including performances from James Taylor, Chicago, Devo, plus Richard Marx, Rick Springfield, George Thorogood, Sebastian Bach, and more. Don't miss Milwaukee's Summerfest, presented by American Family Insurance on June 19th through 21st, June 26th through 28th, and July 3rd through 5th. Get tickets now at summerfest.com.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Down, down, down.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am Pete Schwabba. It is great to have you here on a Monday, folks. We've got great guests tonight. A really fun question. Who's your favorite on-screen couple? Movies or TV, it doesn't matter. You can share either one. I said Spencer Dutton and Alexandra from 1923, mostly because it's just current. There's been, obviously, over the course of Hollywood, there have been some incredible movie couples, Bogey and Bacall. You can go back if you want to go back a ways. I said Sam and Diane were fun to watch just because they argued so much. Conrad said the couple from How I Met Your Mother. But let us know what you think. We got our social media responses here. Did you see Rich Tallarico's response?
What was it?
His favorite movie couple or TV couple is Dolly Parton.
Just Dolly Parton. All right.
Well, use your imagination. Brilliant. Thank you, Rich. Matt Harper says, Timothy Oliphant as Raylan Givens and Natalie's. Oh, yeah. Raylan Givens and Winona Hawkins. Oh, I got to look. Raylan Givens is a great character. I love Justified, and I'm totally due for a rewatch. But I'm trying to remember if Winona Hawkins was his ex-girlfriend or his ex-wife. He had like two main love interests. That is such a good show. And Walton Goggins was on that show too. I think it's Natalie Zaya. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but she was great. And he had an ex-wife who I thought was really good too. But great show and great text. Thank you, Matt. Monica Hale says Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn on and off screen. Okay, that works. Boy, they've been together a long time. Like kind of like Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward. Maybe we'll do an off-screen couple next time. That could be fun. So our question is, who is your favorite on or off screen couple? Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We are going to read some text now, and then we'll get to a funny clip I found. Anna from Madison. She's in the 608, obviously. She says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite on-screen couple is Robert Redford and Barbara Streisand in The Way We Were. Yeah, they were a good one. That's a great one, Anna. I like the classic stuff, too. Like, the Hollywood classics are great, too. Travis in Eau Claire, he's in the, or dialing us from the 618 or texting us, says, since you already said Marshall and Lily, I also really liked Ted and the mother. I was so bummed by the ending. I don't think they should have killed her. What? Spoiler alert. What well, happened there, Conrad?
Well, she got a disease and her name is Tracy McConnell.
On a sitcom?
Yeah. And as she was played by Kristen Melody, I believe that's how you say her name.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons though, where people are like, man, the ending just sucks to that show.
I do remember hearing that.
And then the whole thing is pretty much like him asking his kids, like, can I date your Aunt Robin?
Yeah, well, he gets together with his sister?
Well, it's, you know, it's like one of those friendships where they call, you know, his friends like aunt or uncle, you know.
Okay.
They're not actually related. But...
Interesting. All right.
I agree. They were a good couple, though.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Thank you, Travis. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says... who does Tyler say? I think his text got kind of mixed up there, so I'll come back to that one. Tom in New Berlin says, Pete, if it comes down to Brewers Cubs, what a joy both cities share so much. I agree, Tom. It is weird that we have, we're not the same state, but, you know, like I grew up, all my mom's relatives were in Milwaukee, so I went to a ton of Brewers games, and my grandparents lived there, my parents met at Marquette, and then my dad's family was raised in Chicago, so I'm kind of with you, Tom. I don't get the vitriol sometimes. It's a fun rivalry, but some people take it too far. I think it's just kind of fun. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Moonlighting's Cybill Shepherd and Bruce. He said, Bruce, what's his name? You couldn't remember Bruce Willis? He did correct himself with another text. But that's a good one. Moonlighting was a fun show. Ed in Madison says, Beatrix Kiddo and Bill. Kill Bill. I don't remember the names, but I remember the movies very well. Love it. Ed, thank you. What did you say?
So on the social media, Monica Hale actually changed her mind.
Who did?
Monica Hale.
Oh, what did she say?
Instead of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, she said, I'd like to change mine to Miran Loy and William Powell in the Thin Man movies.
Oh, I have not seen those.
I haven't either.
It sounds kind of morbid though, right? Is the Thin Man a horror a film?
If it is, then that's definitely why I haven't seen it.
Oh, Monica, you need help. Totally kidding. Thank you for the text, Monica. Let's Google that, Con, and find and find that out. Because I want to kind of I always like to know what the texters are talking about if I'm not clued in, which oftentimes I am not. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Oh, we already read that one. Jim from Appleton says, let's hop into the TARDIS and visit the best, sometimes contentious couple, Desi and Lucy's. And Desi and Lucy, you got some splaining to do. Let's hop into the TARDIS. Was that their last name? Conrad says, the character from the movie and book series Thin Man, the internet meme, urban legend, inspired by the character and the term used in the Supernatural episode Thin Man. So it is a kind of a horror.
It says it's 1934 is when the movie was.
How do I not know about this? I got to do a little
Detective
research.
Nick Charles and his wealthy wife, Nora, investigate a murder case. Mostly for the fun of it.
Nice. Like heart to heart. Monica, I will look more into this. Thank you for keeping me honest. Jack from Merrimack says, best on-screen couple, George and Gracie Burns, if you're too young to know whom I'm talking about, with second place, Fred and Ginger. I'm a really old guy. Jack from Merrimack. It's all right, Jack. It's good. People should stretch their boundaries a little bit. Look up some of those classic Hollywood couples. They're fun. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, TV Chuck, Chuck and Sarah, movie Just Like Heaven, David and Lizzie. TV Chuck? I don't know TV Chuck. Did you watch that, Con?
No.
Thank you, Mark. All right, keep those texts coming, folks. This is a fun question tonight. We will come back very shortly after the news. We're going to be here, and we'll be joined by dietitian and nutritionist, our pal Sherry Stoka, will join us over the stream. She'll answer some questions if you have them, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Ozempic craze. Can I take it just for one leg?
I don't know. Probably not.
Asking you. Dave on the stream says, Dave Kunish reposted the stream. I don't understand that.
He reposted it.
Reposted what?
The stream.
I don't get it.
So it goes to his
oh,
friends.
Fantastic. Yeah. Love it. Thank you, Dave. All right, we're coming right back. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight.
Sounds so pure, salvation means. Tell me, can you feel it?
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Attorneys from Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan say there are five specific actions she took, they argue, that are protected by judicial immunity. JS Online reports a new filing says those actions cannot be used as the basis for federal criminal charges, and they're still calling for the charges to be thrown out. Dugan's lawyers maintain that directing people to the chief judge, handling cases off the record, and making legal errors are all official judicial acts, not crimes. Leaders in Milwaukee say there is support for traffic cameras to combat reckless driving. Joanne Krulatz has more.
Proposed legislation at the Capitol would let the city implement a pilot program for automatic traffic safety cameras currently prohibited by state law. State Senator Dora Drake says these would not be a cash cow and that legislators are focused on ensuring that people's lives are protected, that they are safe, and that the city and law enforcement have the tools necessary to keep the community safe. Mayor Cavalier Johnson says residents are fed up with reckless drivers, and the city needs every tool at its disposal in order to hold them to account. A statewide AAA survey last year found majorities in support of speed and red light cameras. Johnson also said he'll sign an ordinance giving police broader authority to deal with street takeovers.
Governor Tony Evers is keeping everyone guessing about a 2026 run. At a Democratic convention over the weekend, the governor said he won't announce his plans until the state budget is settled. In his convention speech, Evers highlighted his record and blasted President Trump for threatening federal aid to Wisconsin. If Evers doesn't run, names being discussed on the Democratic side include Attorney General Josh Call and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Ted Lasso star Jason Sudeikis learned a lot from his uncle, George Wendt. On a recent episode of the Where Everybody Knows Your Name podcast, actor, writer, producer Brett Goldstein, who plays Roy Kent on Ted Lasso, told Ted Danson that Sudeikis found out about his uncle's death while in the writer's room at Ted Lasso, then added that they matched tears with laughter by watching compilations of George Wendt as Norm. Orlando Bloom is alive and well after his surgery. No reason to panic, Bloom fans. The actor had elective surgery, which was a blood filtering procedure to remove microplastics or forever chemicals from his blood. The procedure is only available at one clinic in London, according to Collider. If you're thinking about checking out this procedure, just know that it costs 10 grand. Let's be honest, most of us will just have to cross our fingers and hope that having Tupperware in our blood isn't as bad as experts say. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some could be strong, a low in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, a slight storm chance, a high in the low 70s. More storms likely on Wednesday. Right now it's 78 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Maggie Dawn.
At 4, I'm joined by Senate candidate in Iowa, J.D. Schulten. He's running against Joni Ernst. I'm joined by Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson and State Senator Dora Drake talking biennial budget. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I mean, is it like the worst thing if I just start dancing on the radio?
Well, I mean, if they tune into the stream, they can see you live, too.
We're grooving tonight. It's a Monday night on Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. Welcome back to the show, folks. It is great to have you here tonight on this first warm day, probably since last summer, here in Wisconsin. That's what we do, folks. We live in the cold. And this spring in particular has really sucked. But I see us turning a corner. I'm very excited. I hope you're having a great day, and I'm glad you're here to talk movies and TV and comedy and anything that catches our interest. One of the things I'm very interested in, folks, and I don't talk about it that much on the show, but I feel like it's important to talk about from time to time because you want to live long. You want to live a healthy life so you can watch movies and TV and listen to music into your very high 90s and 100s. And here to help us do that is... my pal, she is a nutritionist and a dietitian, and she's the owner of Wayless MD just outside Milwaukee. She joins us now on the stream, Sherry Stoka. Sherry, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me back.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I love this stuff. I could honestly, you know, people do podcasts for like 3 hours. I could just sit here and pepper you with questions all night, but I know you have kids and a family, and I won't do that to you. But I appreciate you giving us a little bit of your Monday night.
Absolutely. I mean, I love talking about it as well, and I'm all about getting information out there because I feel like there's just a lot of misinformation. So anytime we can talk through things, I think it's amazing.
I think it's great, too. Are you – let me ask you something before we jump into the topic of Ozempic, which I find fascinating. Do you find that most people in your field, like they say psychologists or psychiatrists – a lot, and I'm generalizing, but are kind of messed up themselves. Do people in your line of work struggle with this stuff too, and that's why they're passionate about it, or are they like fit from the get-go and just want to help people?
Oh, geez. Yeah, no. I mean, as a nutritionist or dietitian, I mean, the reason why I got into like the more of the integrative medicine, like holistic approach is because I have suffered with gut issues forever. And like, that was like a big thing for me. And I have a lot of my clients are dietitians. So I do feel, I mean, not the majority by any means, but I definitely feel like people, you know, within their profession, they still struggle in various ways.
Yeah. That's interesting. So what you, I know last time you were here, you talked about being a college athlete. When did your passion hit? And when did you realize you wanted to make this a career?
Yeah, I knew that like how, like the health and not, we didn't use wellness. We didn't use that term, you know, back in the day, but I knew I wanted to be in healthcare and I went into healthcare. And probably 10, 15 minutes into healthcare, I felt like things were not what I had planned for, you know, because, you know, I talk a lot about just our system and the conventional medical system, and it's a bit misguided. It's a bit corrupt. And so that's where I feel I'm big into root cause illness. I'm big into root cause disease. Like let's understand the underlying condition so we can fix it rather than give a pill for every ailment. Yeah. And so I I did kind of realize that somewhat early on. I mean, because I only spent really like 10 years in the system before I realized that I wanted to do my own thing.
Hmm. Interesting. And what you do is more preventative too. I think it, in some ways it's almost more important. Like I have a great primary care physician who is focused on preventative stuff. And I love finding people like that because I agree with you. It's like, let's throw a pill at it or something after the fact. But if we can prevent this stuff, we're all going to be better off. So let's jump in. Like you called, I wanted to ask you about this because I have more and more friends who are on Ozempic and the commercials are all over the place. You called it GLP-1, which is the technical or clinical term, I guess. What are your overall thoughts? And for those of you who don't know, why don't you just tell us what GLP-1 is for people listening? You'd probably do a much better job with that than me.
Yeah, so GLP-1 stands for glucagon-like peptide. So the medications are agonists. So they're designed to mimic what the body is designed to do when we consume food. So GLP-1 agonists just mean that we're inducing a signaling in the body that really is supposed to happen, but no longer happens. So you're injecting with a peptide. A peptide is essentially a chain of amino acids. So, I mean, we could go down like a zillion rabbit holes, but I do tell people that because I'm against the majority of medications. I speak about it all the time. I think that so many things can be fixed just by tweaking certain things. I do look at these medications a little bit differently because in our state of health, we have diseases of modernity. We have diseases of our environment. You know, the standard American diet is like highly processed. We no longer get real food. Our water is terrible. We drink out of plastic. We're full of microplastics. So we have to adapt to that. And the low grade inflammation that's going on in everyone's body is really prohibiting certain GLP signaling to happen. So in a sense, we call it a medication, but I like peptides because I take various peptides. I think they're super amazing, like more longevity and rejuvenation type of treatments. But we are mimicking what the body essentially is designed to do. And a GLP is designed to help you feel full, right? When you
right.
eat. It's designed to slower, you know, gastric motility. So, you know, you get certain signaling to the brain that signals appetite suppression. But one of the main roles of these medications is to help with insulin secretion. And the majority of people have metabolic dysfunction. So they're insulin resistant. And insulin resistance is the foundation of foundational for metabolic dysfunction, meaning we can't clear sugar from our bloodstream very effectively anymore. So these medications come in and now we're able to kind of get the insulin to take the sugar out of the blood, get it into the cell so the body can use it. And now you actually can burn fat because nowadays nobody can really lose weight on their own anymore. It's just completely changed.
That is what fascinates me. My guest is Sherry Stoka. She's the owner of Weightless MD and a dietitian and nutritionist. She's joining us on the stream tonight. Sherry, how do you feel about that? Like I'm kind of on the fence. Like I feel like if people, whatever they have to do to keep the weight off or prevent diabetes or knee replacements or whatever is good, but where should that happen? How much should be exhausted with other preventative measures before they go to something like Ozempic or something else?
Yeah, I mean, so this is the problem because the root cause is standard American diet, mm-hmm. right? That's right. The root cause. The root cause is obesogens, preservatives, dyes, fillers, emulsifiers that are in our food. So it's not as easy is telling someone to just eat healthier.
Right.
You know, we work on the foundational things all the time, but now the conversation with clients is find a farm, find local sources, eat real. We're missing the real food component that's feeding our gut, that's causing normal functioning, normal signaling. And so all of those things are very, very important. And so it will take longer for you to get into a healthier state, and eat healthier, and like all things will eventually happen. It's just now people don't have the patience for it because they get frustrated because they resort to the standard American diet, which unbeknownst to them is not really helping because of everything that's in the food.
Yeah. That's gotta be where you come in. I mean, any dietitian or nutritionist, like, have you ever like encouraged someone to go on something like Ozempic, or are you more like, no, we're going to see this through. You're going to lose more weight. You're going to do this the right way. That must be a kind of a weird line for you to walk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we offer it. I mean, I see 30 people a day on these things because, how I explain these medications is that, they are supporting the process to better health. So if you go on Ozempic, and just to provide context, Ozempic, the generic is semaglutide. So Ozempic or Wegovy is the same exact product. It's just one is approved for diabetes and one is approved for weight loss. It's the same exact thing. So we get our product through a company pharmacy, and it's semaglutide.
Okay.
And so the majority of our patients have major metabolic dysfunction. So this is addressing the root cause with the insulin, you know, the insulin part, the appetite suppression. People immediately say the food noise is gone. It is helping support the process, but we are working on everything else at the same time. So it's kind of like crutches. You think about an injury. Right. If you were to break your leg and you go on a crutch, and the entire time you're on the crutch, you do nothing to improve the healing process, you will always need the crutch. Right. But if you're doing physical therapy, if you're doing the things you're doing, you know, all the things to get you to a healthier state, then you can go off of the crutch and you're fine. So it's kind of like the same exact thing.
So what about the side effects? And I've heard also that I had a friend who was upset because he put all the weight back on pretty quickly. Like, how do you, is there a transition phase or something people can do to help? Because that was a shock to him.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the majority of people who are managing people on these injections are not managing them appropriately. So number one, side effects absolutely can happen. I mean, of what they're doing, you know, but it's a titratable medication. So you start someone on a low dose and you titrate, you customize it. But the way that the pharmaceutical industry sets it up is that it's a one size fits all titration. So people are increasing their dose on these medications and they're feeling terrible.
Yeah.
They're having so many medications, but they're like, oh my God, but month three, it said I had to go up to this. So the pen injects, you know, that amount, they're losing weight, they're happy, but it's actually causing more issues because of the trauma that it's causing in the body. Jeez. So the customization and the management is so crucial. But the other piece is that when you are losing a weight, whether it's slow, whether it's fast, whatever it is, you have to know what you're losing.
Let's pick up right there. Okay. We got to do a really short break. This is great. And we're coming right back with Sherry Stoka, and we're talking about Ozempic, folks. It's the big rage right now. We'll jump more into that with Sherry when we come back after this very short break. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill backed by Donald Trump that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. We don't like to miss out on texts. And Bud from Janesville, he's in the 608, drives around between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. I don't want to know what he's doing at those hours. I'm kidding. He's delivering papers. So he often texts us during the rebroadcast, and he says, hey, Pete, this came in, what, Saturday morning, probably, right, Con? After our Friday show, because our question, He says, hey, Pete, I appreciate your perspective on Kendrick Lamar. You made some good points, and since you said you like him more, since the halftime show, I'm going to give a longer listen and see if I come away singing a different tune. Thanks. Well done, Bud. He says, love the show, Bud from Janesville. Again, I'm not the biggest Kendrick fan. I just, oftentimes my kids will explain something to me, like why I should like something. And I'm like, okay, yeah. And I see things through a different perspective. So that's kind of what happened there. But yeah, I think he's kind of cool. We have Sherry Stoka here from Wayless MD. She is answering our questions about health and wellness. And we were talking about Ozempic. Sherry, I asked you what people can do to kind of transition off Ozempic because a lot of people have gained weight back, and you were in the middle of a point before I had to cut to a break.
Yeah. So I was talking about the importance of looking beyond just the weight on the scale, right? Metabolic health is driven by our muscle mass and our lean body tissue. So if you're not approaching weight loss in the correct way, your body will go to muscle. And so this is the problem that the majority of people are facing. They're going on these medications. They're not really changing anything other than they're eating less. And so they're not getting their body into a healthier metabolic state. So then, of course, you know, you can actually lose weight and put yourself in a worse state of health. And for the people that gain weight right away, that's probably what's happening. They probably have lost more muscle mass, and we can't afford really to do that, especially as we age. And so that's kind of the result.
That's fascinating. I wanted to ask you this too, because I know there are medications for this as well. I had a physical recently, and the only, you know, they test all your blood and all that. And my cholesterol, because of my age, is starting to creep up a little bit, not medication worthy yet. But what would you tell someone who came in? Are there natural or holistic ways to bring down your cholesterol or increase your good cholesterol with just diet and exercise?
See, another rabbit hole. Like, okay. So, first of all, cholesterol, an elevated cholesterol, I mean, and maybe you already know this, but I just want to say it because I feel like this is just more misinformation that's out there. Cholesterol is not from like cholesterol in our food. So I just want to like debunk that. I want to debunk the fact that people say that cholesterol is from saturated or high cholesterol is from saturated fat and, you know, like eggs and things like that. Elevated cholesterol is from some sort of inflammation in the body. Mm. Okay. So, when you go to your doctor and, you know, your cholesterol is getting a little bit above 200 or what have you, which I think, I don't know. Again, I'm trying to not to go down the rabbit hole, but I just try to help people understand like statins are not the answer because it's not addressing the root cause, right? Okay. I mean, so we're trying to get your cholesterol down to a level with a statin that's stopping the production of cholesterol when really the root cause is let's kind of figure out where the inflammation is happening in the body. So usually inflammation is from the standard American diet, and it's usually from sugar. It's not from the fat in your diet. It's usually from, you know, again, eating too much sugar, eating too much breads, carbs, things like that. Mm. And so to decrease or help get cholesterol to a correct level, it's usually looking at the diet and looking at like the carbs and the sugar. It's not fixating on like the fats or anything like that.
So does that mean like more of a gluten-free diet would be better to control cholesterol if you didn't have carbs or gluten?
I mean, not necessarily, because there's a million gluten-free products out there that are terrible, you know, and they're still carby. They're just so gluten-free. It would be more like a lower carb diet rather than like gluten-free.
Okay.
So eating, you know, lower carb, real foods versus, you know, finding a box on the shelf that says, oh, gluten-free. Cause a lot of people are very tricked by that. And they think, oh, gluten-free is healthy and it's low carb. That couldn't be further from the truth.
So if people wanted to come to you on an official basis, Sherry, where can they find more information about you or Weightless MD?
Yeah, well, I mean, they can certainly go to our website at weightlossmd.com. We have a lot of information there. Yeah, you can set up a free consultation, and you can also call us, and our number is 262-226-2046. I mean, we're on social media just to get a sense of the messaging that I'm putting out there. So multiple ways.
I'm trying to think, can we keep you for a couple minutes after the news?
Of course.
All right. Yes. Let's see. We got about a minute before the news. I'm trying to think what I can ask you. Have there been diet trends? Like, you know, first it was low carb, then it's high protein and all this stuff. What should people avoid? Should they avoid all those altogether and count calories and eat more whole foods? Or has there been a craze that you've kind of been, or a trend where you've kind of been, yeah, that one's okay?
I do like a couple things, but again, it's all about getting the body into a healthier state. Otherwise, none of them will work.
Hmm.
Right. So like I think you had put a couple things out there, like a vegetarian, the keto, intermittent fasting. They're all good short term, and they all have their nuances. I try to get, one of the main things that I do in the most simplistic way is get people to eat whole foods, and you have to go organic. There's controversy with that, but your chances are it's going to be better than the alternative, and to stop eating so frequently. We have to extend the period of time between meals. So intermittent fasting a couple times a week is usually where I will start with people and start from there, and whole foods.
I love that you said that. We can talk more about that too. Sherry Stoka is here from Wayless MD. We're going to do intermission, folks, and she's going to stick around for a couple minutes of Act Two. We're coming right back. This is Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. President Trump has made a startling statement tonight, says CBS's Stacey Lynn.
In a post on Truth Social, the president said Iran should have signed the nuclear deal he told them to sign, writing, "What a shame and waste of human life." Simply stated, Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. Everyone should immediately evacuate Tehran.
Vance Belter appeared in federal court in Minneapolis today after being arrested and charged in the killings of a Democratic state lawmaker and her husband, and the shooting of another lawmaker and his wife. They survived. Acting U.S. Attorney Joseph Thompson.
Belter went to the homes of four Minnesota state politicians with the intent to kill them.
President Trump says he and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer have formalized a deal on trade and tariffs. He showed reporters the signed agreement, calling it a fair deal for both countries.
The relationship that we have is fantastic. So I just want to congratulate you.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.